Happy fall, y'all! Ooh. This is episode 74 of Add This to Your List. We hope it's your favorite podcast. It is an entertainment podcast, and I am Tom Chuba, joined by two co-hosts, Fumi Sumanu, based in LA, Mark J. Parker, based in New York.
Hi.
And we get together every now and then to tell you what we've been watching and whether or not you should put it on your list. Get it? Mm-hmm. How you guys doing? Good?
Good. Yeah. I'm loving this fall weather. Skies
yes.
are blue.
Testify. Say it again so they can hear
Fumi, me. Fumi, I heard that it was cool in LA yesterday.
Oh my God.
Like,
it
chilly.
Is fall here. Oh. And
yes.
I loved it. I was driving home last night. I went to go see a play.
Oh, nice.
I went to go see Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, I
want to
see that, Fumi. I love
Amber Riley.
I love the guy that plays the dentist, Matt something. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, fun.
It was okay.
Oh. Oh yeah, with Pose Girl. Isn't MJ? Yeah,
yeah
MJ Rodriguez.
Oh, MJ Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was driving back and it was like 65 degrees outside. And it was just,
right? Wonderful.
Give me the fall weather. I'm curled up in a blanket right now. I'm like, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
it's perfection.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark and I are getting ready to shoot a short film next week. And mm-hmm. so the fall weather and the leaves changing is perfect for what we were
going
for.
I can't wait to see
it. Has it started changing leaves already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually early this year. In the past 2 years, it was like mid-October, at least
really?
Up here that they, yeah.
Oh, wow. No, this feels normal to me, like late September. Yeah, like the trees around us in Mamaroneck are definitely changing. Yeah. I feel like sometimes
beautiful.
I feel like sometimes by the end of October, by Halloween, like leaves are dead and even sort of gone around here.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
Depressing.
I know. But right now, at least, thank you, Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into it, guys. We will do our normal housekeeping and headlines. Then we will get into our list. We're going to do the list a little interestingly this week. We've got one item each, and then we're going to focus the second half of our list. We're each going to talk about a show that premiered this past week during premiere week for the
mm-hmm,
broadcast
mm-hmm,
networks
mm-hmm.
and let you know what we think of them.
Mm-hmm.
So housekeeping, Fumi, knock, knock, knock. Tell us what you got.
Housekeeping.
Yeah, so I shared with you guys that Marvel and Sony decided to separate because over Spider-Man, because they couldn't come to an agreement on who was going to pay a certain amount or whatever the percentage was going to be broken up. And Kevin Feige was just like, well, all right, then peace, y'all. And Sony, they made a whole announcement and a statement and everybody was like, what the fuck is happening? What's going on? I've made no secret about the fact that I've never really liked Spider-Man, but ever since Tom Holland came into it and it's been part of the Marvel Universe, I've loved it. It has brought such a fresh, fun energy to the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, that sucks. I guess I won't be watching it anymore. And it's a shame because I love Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's a surprise to really no one because, honestly, Sony, what were you thinking?
I know.
They came back and announced that they are going to be doing one more Spider-Man movie together. And I jokingly...
They done worked it out.
Right? Mm-hmm. I jokingly texted you guys and I was like, Sony was definitely calling Marvel's bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel was like, you need us. We don't need you.
Right.
And Sony was like, shit, we gotta fix this.
And then they did that backpedal.
They sure did. They're like, we know Kevin Feige's mind already. We've done three movies together. We know it. And then they probably got into that first meeting and they were like, we don't know it, y'all.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You must be happy.
Yeah, I am. I am happy. Although I haven't seen the latest Spider-Man, I will. But it was disappointing to hear that they were separating.
So they're going to do one more? Is that the plan? Just only one more with
Tom?
One
more movie with Tom. Tom has signed on for two more. So I assume they'll probably just do one more movie each. And then when Tom finishes his contract, who knows what'll happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because not only Tom, but like Marissa Tomei, like the whole Spider-Man family is
totally.
Really great. Oh,
it's so
fun.
Great.
Like you said... Yeah, a lot of good energy. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, and then I will wrap up housekeeping with a little update. So back in April or May of this year, I had decided to wait a full season to put A Million Little Things on my list, which we had said was kind of ABC's answer to This Is Us. Mm-hmm. And I think I ended up telling y'all that it was okay to miss after a full first season. Mm. It had potential, but it tried too hard. And if you'll remember, I said, I'm going to wait to see what the season 2 premiere does, and then I'll let y'all know if I'm keeping it on my list. It is officially off my DVR.
Wow. So.
It's funny you say that, Tom, because I was thinking about trying to check out that show, but I don't know. The whole affair thing with the two people is, like, icky to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how you feel about that.
Yeah, you don't like affair stories. I remember that. Yeah.
No. Which is like, what am I, like, who am I rooting for here? Yeah, this is totally. Bullshit.
But The Affair is a good show, all about an affair. Uh-uh. I tried to give what is it even called?
A Million Little Things.
Okay, not A Million Little Pieces. That was that
No,
book.
That's another book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to give it a shot. I watched the first episode, and it just felt very, like, vanilla, very...
forced.
Yeah, and, like,
contrived.
And honestly, even the colors, it just was, like, it just felt drab. It was, like, nah, I can watch other really good dramas elsewhere. So,
right.
Okay,
right.
So, Tom, you're officially, what, did you watch the season 2 premiere, and you're, like, you know what? No.
Is that what happened? Yeah, it was, like, nothing was changing from season 1. It was literally, like, we were watching a continuation from the very last episode.
Okay.
It didn't feel like it was a fresh new season. So, it's gone.
Yeah, okay.
And that's our housekeeping. Now, let's turn it to news. Fumi, I'll go to you again. What you got with your headlines, girl?
Yeah, Apple TV. For some reason, it just, like, popped into my head over the week, and I was, like, texting you guys. I was like, are we going to get this?
yeah, right?
It's $4.99, which is an amazing deal.
Way cheaper than
not
I think
what
we all
expected.
Thought.
Yeah.
We definitely did not
we
think
wrong.
It was going to be that cheap. And it comes out November 1st,
yes,
which is so soon.
So soon, and they're jumping the gun over Disney. It's funny how Apple Plus and Disney Plus are, like...
Oh, yeah,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch that play out.
Baby. I actually think they're both going to do really, really well because they both have really strong programming. For me, Apple TV, I'm really excited for that morning show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon and M. Night Shyamalan, even though I just know in my heart it's probably going to be garbage.
Well,
but it does look good.
It does look good. That one's called
It Does.
Servant.
Yeah.
Servant.
You never know. M. Night Shyamalan might be better in TV rather than film. But I just saw Lauren Ambrose, who I love from 6 Feet Under, is in that M. Night Shyamalan show.
Oh, so I did not know that.
That's
love
interesting.
Her.
Yeah, I like her too. Mm-hmm. And then the Octavia Spencer one, I got to represent our friend Davita, who was a guest on our podcast. She was a writer on that. So,
that's amazing.
We got to watch that one. So.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
But that one's not going to come out in November, right, Foom?
No,
the Octavia one? Yeah.
It's going to be a little later. She told me the release date the other night, but I can't remember what she said.
I don't even think they've done much promotion for that one yet.
No,
right.
Just
it
like
sounds like the morning show and the Jason Momoa, like, in the woods show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those come out November 1st. Maybe something. Oh, the Hailee Steinfeld, who I actually, however you say her name, I think she's cute. I actually kind of like her.
She's cool.
Sort of modern take on Emily Dickinson, I think. So
yes.
I think those
what it
are.
Looks like.
Right? Yeah. But.
Yeah.
Cool. I think I'm excited. I think it's cool. And apparently, it's $4.99 for up to 6 family members. So we got to figure out.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, we got to figure
that
out.
We'll let you know.
Right. You have to have the same last name. I don't know what that means. But apparently, if you buy an Apple product between now and then, you get the first year free.
So get your phones, get your iPods. Well, iPods.
Right.
iPads. But wait, what was I going to say? I was going to ask... Yeah, so we were talking briefly about, like, how to watch it. So do you think there's going to be an Apple TV Plus app?
Well, there
is. Yeah, it's already on our TV, guys.
Oh, okay.
It's on your TV already? Oh, I got to look on my Roku. It's definitely on my phone. And then my friend told me last night that it might be also available through Amazon Prime. You'd be able to watch it through there.
Okay.
So, we'll see. I mean, if I don't have to buy an Apple TV, I won't, because $4.99 for 12 months is what?
$60
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah. It's cheap, which I'm glad because they're smart. They know that even though it seems like they'll have great content, and I think even Oprah is going to join. I remember we were talking about Oprah.
Yep. She's got something on there too. Yep.
But, you know, I'm glad that they're keeping it low because they're smart. They don't really have, like, Apple Movies. They don't have any backlog of things to, like, have on there, like Disney. So they should keep it low and then build it, I guess, as they go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Mark, what you got?
My news is short but super sweet, baby. I am so excited that our girl, the girl of the season, I think, Miss Jennifer Lopez, who we just talked last week about Hustlers and how she like owned that movie. She is the best. Uh-huh. She is joining forces with Shakira for Super Bowl 2020, and I'm so here for it. What do you guys think?
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I think
it's going to be fun.
I think that will be so much fun. I love these two Latin women. I get the vibe that J-Lo might be kind of a little bit more of the headliner, because Shakira, I feel like, has been a little quieter. But I know Shakira has a massive world mm-hmm. following. But mm-hmm. I think maybe we'll see a couple other Latin stars pop up with them, because I was doing a little Google search, and the only two other Latin performers during the halftime show at the Super Bowl was Gloria Estefan once or twice, like back in the 90s, and then Enrique Iglesias, which is a little random. And they were, of course, not headliners in any way. They kind of just popped up during like quick little sets with like a group of people. So this will be cool to finally get some Latin women doing their thing. I think it's gonna be a fun show.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun too. I mean, Shakira is apparently breaking records for being the only woman to perform at all major global sporting events or something.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be exciting. They'll definitely be shaking some hips, having some Latin beats.
Yeah. I just feel like it's going to be a much needed like energy boost during the show, whether you like the teams or not. I just feel like let's like shake it up, baby. Literally shake it up with our booties. Cool. Yeah.
Totally.
All right. And I will wrap us up. My piece is also short, but we're going to say cautiously exciting. This week it was announced that Jeff Goldblum, Laura Dern, who also is kind of having her moment.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, she's considered front runner right now to win Best Supporting Actress Oscar for Marriage Story.
Oh, and maybe even Little Women. I don't know.
Maybe Little Women. Yep. So Jeff Goldblum, Laura Dern, and Sam Neill are all going to return for Jurassic World 3. Now, we say cautiously excited because none of us were a fan of Jurassic World 2. I think we all liked Jurassic World 1.
It was fine. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Yeah. I loved it.
I loved it.
You loved Jurassic World?
I did, yeah. Fun. I thought it was very fresh and innovative and fun.
I thought it was fine. But man, like, I just hope we get some good stuff with these returning people. Because wasn't Jeff Goldblum in the last one, too?
For like 5 minutes in the beginning. Okay. Yeah. But and they're saying that they are not cameos in Jurassic World 3.
They're giving us something good.
Yeah.
So they're joining forces with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas
and
Howard.
Bryce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and Colin Trevorrow, who directed the 2, is going to direct 3. So
okay,
we'll see.
I mean, 2 could have been good, but wow, I don't know. Like the first, I don't even know. It just was sort of a mess. I remember we talked about it on here before, but fingers crossed for 3. That could be really cool.
Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. And with that, let's move on to our lists.
Okay. Yeah.
I let Fumi go first with news. So, Mark,
wow,
you go first with your list item.
Well, thank you. I went first with my list item last week, so I like this routine. Okay, guys, so for my shorter list this week, I have one item that we had talked about a little bit offline a couple weeks ago when it premiered, and it was on my radar. I thought it was a cute idea. I had just rewatched one of my fave movies from the 90s, the Brady Bunch movie where it spoofed the show. Love that. But
love it.
I checked out HGTV's A Very Brady Renovation. It was, if you might have heard, it was the biggest rating success for HGTV basically ever. It had 8 million viewers in the live.
Right?
Well, live plus 3 days. Live was still huge, though. Live viewers that night, earlier this in September when it premiered, it was like 3 to 4 million. So it basically doubled or plus in 3 days. I finally checked a few of the episodes out, and guys, it is so much fun. And I actually think HGTV, you should do this more often with any other famous TV or movie houses that go on sale, even like a fun
the Amityville house,
or like I always think of like one of the most iconic houses in like movies is like the Nightmare on Elm Street house with the red door. Like if any they should have a team that's always scoping out when famous houses are for sale and do this, because it's such a great fun short idea to bring the cast back along with people's favorite HGTV hosts and basically, you know, gut it and make it really look like, you know, a new house again. So The trick for this is, as everyone probably knows, Brady Bunch, of course, was a famous sitcom back in the late 60s, early 70s, but they shot that on a soundstage. So the actual house that everyone has grown to love right in L.A., it's actually, like, right in front of, like, a massive parking garage. Like, it looks kind of like, ugh. That house, they never were inside. That was just for exterior shots, which, you know, at least back in the day, that's what they would always do. And even in TV nowadays, they still do that. So the goal is to renovate the inside and make it look as identical as can be to the actual soundstage to make it really the Brady house. So what's cool about it is they show, you know, the executive producer is on the phone with, like, the LA mayor. They're at these different, you know, stores and offices, like designing stuff and measuring it all out and everything. And they're bringing the six actors who played the kids along with them. So you have Maureen McCormick, you have, you know, all the original people. So that's really cool. Maureen McCormick, who played Marcia, by the way, is stunning. She looks so
good. I heard that, yeah.
Damn, she took care of herself. Good. Oh my gosh, she looks so good. I can't, like, literally goals at that age. But it's touching too, and it's fun. They give you little, like, sprinkles of, like, little fun facts from back in the day. One of the weirder ones was the youngest kid, Cindy and, why can't I think of
Bobby.
The young... Yeah, Bobby. Thank you. Cindy and Bobby. When they were young, they apparently went into the doghouse in the backyard on set and would make out. What? Like, that was weird.
Oh.
They were openly
real young.
I mean, yeah, they were young. They were like 10 and they were like, you know, learning how to kiss with each other. So cute, but kind of weird. And they're saying this to one of the hosts and she's just like, oh, OK, well, I'll leave you two alone. But it's super cute. And then some of the hosts, as you HGTV people out there might know, I know people are obsessed with it, including my parents.
I love HGTV.
Jeff does too. I mean, I love it. I love their, like, beach hunt, bargain hunters or whatever it's called. I just don't watch it a lot. So I think this might be a first for me on this show and maybe for us as a whole to recommend an HGTV show. But you have the Property Brothers, who I know are so popular. One of them now is dating Zooey Deschanel. Kind of random.
I thought he was gay.
Like, I don't know. I just thought they were like weird asexual twins. And it's like, oh, someone is dating you. Right?
Chip and Joanna, then. Don't forget about them.
Yes, of course. Then you also have Lara Spencer, who, I mean, I never really loved. And she's sort of still in the doghouse for me because of her stupid... comments on, I think it was GMA a couple weeks ago, about boys who do ballet. But yeah, you have a few different people who have successful shows. So literally it is all these people coming together and it's quite interesting. You're right there with them. You're hearing stories. You're seeing it all being built. You're learning about angles and of that iconic staircase and all that stuff. So it's cool. I recommend it. Check it out. At least
how many episodes is it going to be?
I think it's only 4. It's wrapping up as of this recording. It's wrapping up very
smart.
Soon.
Keep
so,
it short.
Yeah, because the first episode alone was an hour and a half. So they sort of had supersized the episodes, but for a short little run. And like I said, I think this could be a great future for HGTV. They apparently bought the house for $3.5 million. It was basically double what the owners were asking.
Oh yeah, the owners got double their asking price.
Yes.
It went up for sale, and then remember Lance Bass thought that he got it.
Uh-huh.
And then HGTV swooped in and outbid him.
Yes.
But I have to say I have two problems with the show.
Oh, you watched Fume. Okay, tell me.
Yeah. I think it's a great concept too. I think it's really smart. I think that they basically paid for the house in advertising.
Oh yeah.
How much they put down on it. Mm-hmm. I have a problem because even though I love HGTV, when you watch shows individually, you don't realize how lily white their programming is. So
oh,
they gotta get some hosts of color on network.
I know.
ASAP.
Oh yeah.
People.
Especially this show. It is a sea of white. Yeah.
Oof. And two, even though I totally get that it's all about remaking the house to be exactly like the Brady Bunch house, mm-hmm. in my idea, I'm like, okay, so then what next? Like, is that going to be a museum? Nobody's going to buy that shit because it's going to look fucking ugly.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
So
I don't know what the goal is ultimately.
Yeah, like, what is the goal ultimately there? I mean, you're going to redo the house, make it look exactly like the Brady Bunch house, and then what, try to sell it? No one's going to buy that. So I would have loved for the show, and I think it would have been a lot more fun for them to have bought the house, but, like, redone it in a very, like, modern take on the Brady Bunch house.
Mm.
That's what I would have loved for it to be done.
Do we think the goal is that once this is over, they announce that it's being rebooted and that it will film in that house?
That's funny you say that, Tom. I was thinking,
I don't know if that show will be successful in 2019 or 2020. Like, that was,
well,
like,
I think you'd have to have it take place in modern times.
Cookie cutter, like, yeah, that was a little too much.
I mean, well, that's funny we're talking about it, because I said to Greg when I was watching, I was like, I wonder what would happen once this is done, because we thought the same thing. It could be a really cool museum, and then that's just extra money for HGTV, but it's still in a neighborhood, so I wonder if, like,
yeah,
because
your permits would be right insane.
Parking and
yeah,
wouldn't so be able to really pull that off logistically, yeah, to be honest. It's not realistic,
right? So then I thought, wait, is this HGTV saying basically, if this show is a mini success, which of course it's now a huge success for them, would this be their, like, foray into scripted television, and then they reboot the Brady Bunch? That would be really
HGTV's not going to do that.
I mean, they would have to have a whole different department, you know, yeah, take that on. But mm-hmm, yeah, I'm not, that's the only thing that's not super clear about this. Everyone's like, oh, it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. We had this. Where's the little doll I had? All this stuff. But it's like, well, what will happen once, you know, the show's
you
over?
You get it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you. I really wonder, I wonder if actually they already have a buyer in mind, someone with a lot of money. Because obviously if they bought it for 3.5 and then they redo everything and get all these crazy millions of viewers, they're going to really up that price even more. I wonder if they already have someone in mind who's just a fan and will take it over.
We shall see.
I don't know.
Some,
yeah, it's interesting.
Person with pocket money who can, yeah, just throw away money for that. Okay.
Right? I know. It's weird. I know. I'm right there with you. But either TBD. Way, it's a fun watch. So check it out.
All right. Fumi.
Yeah. So I have this series on Netflix called Criminal.
No.
It's really, really good, but it's on Netflix. I know, right? It's an added to your list. It, so basically, okay, Criminal is four series. So there's a UK version, a French version, a Spain, and Germany. And it's three episodes each, so it's super short.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not realize it was that short.
Fantastic. So essentially, the premise is it all takes place in an interrogation room. And so it's really interesting to see detectives interrogate these potential criminals and try to get them to admit the crimes that they've been brought in for. And so you're basically just watching, like, the different interrogation techniques of, like, the different countries. The only person that I recognize from all of the series, and I haven't really been able to watch all of them yet, but I did watch all of UK, which I thought was fantastic. It was so, so good. It's David Tennant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, love him.
Yep. From Doctor Who and Broadchurch.
He's in the first episode, and then Billy... Oh my God, what is her last name? Is it Billy Lord? Do you guys remember the show on Showtime, The Secret Diary of a...
Yeah, and then she was also in Penny Dreadful, which was good.
Yes.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm going to look her up.
She is in one of the
episodes. It's not Billy
too.
Lord.
And it's not... No, it's not Billy Lord. It's Billy something. I just can't remember her last name.
Yeah.
But she did a fantastic job too. So
Billy
I highly...
Piper.
Billy Piper. That's it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend, if you're even going to just check out one of the series, because like I said, it is four different countries. The French one was a bit of a snooze fest to me. Okay. I only got through half of the first episode, but the UK one is done so well that I'm just going to say add it to your list and definitely at least check out UK.
Okay.
Okay.
And you said there are three episodes per
country.
Country. Okay. Interesting.
And are they an hour each?
Like 45 minutes.
Okay. Okay. And they all have, it's all a separate story per country.
Totally separate stories per country, but also separate episodes. So not every, there's no through line. The only mm-hmm. through line are the investigators, the detectives, but each criminal is different. So you get each story.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, it's just done really well. I mean, there's no action. Like I said, it all takes place in one room.
Mm-hmm.
They never
deviate
from that.
Is it a surprise? Like,
what
once,
do you mean?
Are there twists?
I don't necessarily say that I think they're twists, because I feel like if you watch enough shows like that, you might be able to kind of see where they're heading. But it's really interesting to see how they manipulate the person being brought in for the crime to confess. And it's also
okay,
interesting to see how other countries deal with their criminal
yeah.
justice system.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
oh,
in that instance, it's interesting.
I see your girl from Marvel, Haley Altwell? Peggy Carter, she's in it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Cool.
Oh my God, wait, it's not Billy Piper. It is Haley Atwater. Wait, no.
Atwell.
Wait, Hold on a second. did you get them confused?
I think I did get them confused. It is
They do
Haley.
Look a lot alike, actually.
They do, actually. It isn't Billy Piper, it's Haley Atwell. That's who it is. Okay. She does such a great job in her episode.
That's so funny.
I was mesmerized by her telling her story. They bring her in and then she goes away because they think that they have their confession. But then the detectives are like, they're in their gut. They just feel like something's very wrong. So they bring her back. And just the way that they're able to get her to talk about the chain of events that happened is just really fascinating.
Cool. That's really interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I somehow missed hearing about this. So that's
It was a
good.
Surprise. It was one of those things that you just turned on Netflix and it just like popped up. Oh, okay. Cool. Four countries, all series. We'll check it out.
All right.
And apparently the order to watch that is UK, France, Spain, Germany. Okay. I don't necessarily understand why, because like I said, I don't see a through line, unifying
thread.
But yeah, so apparently that is the order to watch them, if you choose to watch all of them.
Interesting. Cool.
Okay. All right, I will wrap us up, guys. My list item is the movie Judy. So we've been hearing about this for a long time now. Renee Zellweger was cast a while ago to play the famous legend, really, Judy Garland, right? And if you don't know who that is, shame on you. But she was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and was in A Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis and a bunch of other stuff in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s, although the 60s started her decline. So the movie got off to a rough start because upon Renee Zellweger's casting, Liza Minnelli, her daughter, came out and said, I've never met Renee Zellweger, so I do not sanction this film. So people were kind of like, interesting. And then it started premiering at the festivals the past 2 months or so to rave reviews. So I was like, I have got to go see this. Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Oh, boy.
Guys, I'm going to say to you right now, I am going to riot in the streets if Renee Zellweger does not win the Oscar for Best Actress.
She better. She changed her face for the role.
Right.
Well, did she for the role?
She looked like Judy Garland for this. And
well, I will say,
she had her surgery for this role. Mm.
I will say I saw her in an interview this week for the movie, and I think makeup was a really big part in that because in the interview I saw, Renee Zellweger looked a lot more like the Renee Zellweger we grew up with and came to love from Jerry Maguire. And so I think
oh, shit. Surgery is finally starting to stop.
The puffiness is going down, Tom.
Oh, Lord. Oh, but I do think makeup played a big part in it.
Maybe,
she is fantastic.
Maybe makeup will get some Oscar noms as well, then.
It totally should. So the movie, it's not a full biopic. There are two periods it covers. It covers the period during which Judy Garland was shooting The Wizard of Oz as a 15-year-old girl on the cusp of 16 years old. Mm. And the young actress who plays her at that time does a very good job, looks a lot like her.
Wow.
And then it covers the second period is about 6 months before Judy Garland dies. Guys, at the age of 47,
oof.
From just
drug and alcohol use, so young.
And so it kind of just covers the fact that Judy feels lost, right? Hollywood forgot her, right? So they groomed her at such a young age. Do you know? I did not know any of this. Do you know during filming The Wizard of Oz, she wasn't allowed to really eat? She couldn't have hamburgers. She could only have chicken. She couldn't have milkshakes. They were putting her on diet pills, and the director at the time said, you cannot gain a single pound because we cannot have a fat Dorothy.
Different time. They
treated actresses like shit back then. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then the tides changed, and all these people, they did not know how to deal with the fact that they weren't going to be famous anymore, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to deal with the fact that they were going to fall out of the limelight, and this is totally what the movie is about. It's about Judy Garland wondering, like, what happened to me? Where do I fit in? And she just wants to be a mom to her two younger kids. Not to Liza. Liza was much older than her two younger kids.
I don't think I realized that towards the end of her life, she didn't really have a career.
I was going to say, yeah, she sort of became kind of washed up, right? Which is kind of what the movie shows.
Totally,
yeah,
totally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And she gets an opportunity to do a tour in London because the Brits still loved her much more than the Americans did at that point. And so she goes to London thinking, can I really pull this off? And she does, but then her demons creep up. And I don't want to give anything away, especially if you don't know a lot about the life of Judy Garland. But it's just... it's one of the most haunting movies I've ever seen.
Wow.
There are a lot of parts that I can't stop thinking about since seeing it last night. I loved it. It was heartbreaking. It was sad. The only thing I will say, and I think this is because, you know how old-time Hollywood women all talked with like that certain affect? There were a lot of times where I was having trouble distinguishing Judy Garland on screen, and only because we've just so recently seen this, from the way Michelle Williams played Gwen Verdon.
Interesting.
So it's a lot of that same accent that Michelle Williams used for Gwen, Renee uses for Judy, but it's because that's the way old Hollywood women talk.
Are you saying that was annoying to you? What are you saying?
No, it just, I had to remind myself that I was watching a movie about Judy Garland, not about Gwen Verdon, but that was only
for
like the first 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
Got it.
And maybe that speaks to how the women back then were kind of instructed to speak from their acting teachers and everything. That's so interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Cool.
Yep. So, yeah, definitely add it to your list.
And
go see it in theaters.
I want it to do well. I know Renee has a song with Sam Smith. Does she actually sing in the movie, too?
Oh, yeah, she sings. Yep.
Cool. That's great. I'm so ready for her comeback, so that's awesome. And this is better than that What If show that she did earlier this year.
Oh my god! Yeah. Holy shit!
I couldn't. Fumi and I tried to watch it together. Remember that?
Oh yeah, I think you guys did that before I came to visit.
We
left
in 5 god. Minutes. We were like, "What the fuck is this?"
Oh man! Yikes!
Yep. All right, so that was half of our list. Now let's turn it over to Premiere Week Focus.
Yes.
So we all agreed that we were going to pick one of the broadcast shows that was premiering, and we were going to talk about it. So, Foom, let's hear from you. What did you pick?
Well, first, I want to just say that across the board, it was not a very good week for Premiere Week. I mean, you had some standouts. You had The Masked Singer.
Yes.
That did really well, which is such a fun show. If you're not watching it, it's been on our list before, but if you're not watching it, like you should, it's just so fun. And I guess a couple new dramas here and there, but across the board, the numbers were kind of like not that great.
Yeah, the bigger numbers seem to be returning shows, because I think I saw it was Masked Singer, it was I think This Is Us, and then returning comedy. I know Young Sheldon did well. I think that was something else, but yeah, it wasn't really very exciting.
Yeah.
I think I saw a quote somewhere. It might have been Deadline. They said, the writer of the article said, last year these numbers would have guaranteed you a cancellation if you premiered at these numbers, and this year they're being celebrated.
Yeah.
So I thought that spoke volumes.
Wow.
You get a 1.0 rating, usually, way back when we were kids, of course, but even a couple years ago, that meant like, oh, sorry, no.
Yeah.
But that's now normal fall. That is so interesting.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get worse with Apple TV and Disney
Plus.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling, honestly, Disney owns ABC. I've been saying this for a while. Like, bigger companies that own the, broadcast networks, I would not be surprised in the next 10 years if they sell them. Because they don't want to be... I have a feeling broadcast networks will be bottom of the barrel. They're going to go to, other companies. I don't think Disney cares about ABC. I think Disney cares about massive movies, Marvel, amusement parks, franchises, Fox properties.
Yeah.
They don't care about ABC. They care about ESPN and FX now way more than ABC.
Totally,
that's my
opinion. Totally. That's really interesting. That'd be fascinating to see. With that being said, my pick was Prodigal Son on Fox.
Looks good.
I only had 3 shows I was interested in watching for the new fall shows. I was Prodigal Son, it was Evil, and it was Mixed-ish. That was it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else spoke to me. So I picked Prodigal Son because it basically, the premise is Martin Sheen plays a serial killer. But he's already locked away at this point.
Sheen? I think Michael Sheen, right?
Michael Sheen. What did I say? Mm-hmm. Martin Sheen?
Michael Sheen,
okay.
Masters of Sex guy, right?
So Michael Sheen is a serial killer, but he's already locked away. So we follow the son, who is working for the FBI to stop serial killers and to kind of figure out what their MO is and why they do what they do, and to try to, you know, get ahead of the next murder. So that's where the prodigal son comes in from. And ooh, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry. Okay, never mind. And I'm going to say it's an added to your list. I actually really did enjoy the show.
My parents did too.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. The actor who plays the prodigal son is named...
I know he was in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he was Jesus on The Walking Dead.
He's got interesting eyes.
He does. His eyes are actually very haunting. See, I had never seen him before, so I thought that was also refreshing. Tom Payne is his name.
Yes.
Yep. Bellamy Young plays his mom, and you know I love her from Scandal.
Yeah.
Lune Diamond Phillips is in this. He plays the detective who works with Tom Payne. Yeah. And then there's also another newcomer. Her name is Halston Sage. She plays Tom Payne's sister, and she's a reporter. So the family is very wealthy. They have money. Before Michael Sheen, well, I guess he was a doctor or someone famous before or during his murderous rage when he was younger and killing people. So it's an interesting concept. Tom Payne is very intense. We like to joke about Rami Malek and how he's so intense. It almost like gives you a headache to watch him with his like eyes, you know?
Yes.
Tom Payne kind of has that going for him too. But he also kind of offsets that with a little bit of levity in his acting, which is helpful, I think, to kind of give you a little bit of like a breather. But he is intense. He definitely suffers from anxiety. He definitely suffers from like depression. He's got mental health issues, which you can't blame him because he's got a father who is a serial killer and locked away. And you get a little bit of more of a backstory on how the dad got caught and all of that stuff in the first episode too. So I'm intrigued. I'm gonna keep watching. I don't know how long I'll keep watching because you guys know it's hard for me to really get into like dramas on broadcast just because I feel like they're so limited to what they can do. But I liked what I saw so far.
Cool.
Okay.
It looks good. It makes me kind of think of The Following, which I really liked with Kevin Bacon on Fox.
Which is funny because I didn't like that show.
I didn't either.
You didn't?
I liked it in the
beginning, but then I didn't like it by the end of
the season.
The
first two seasons were amazing. What? I was on that show. You can see me in a scene with Kevin Bacon. Anyway, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, I wasn't sure because, like you, you know, there wasn't a lot that was really screaming my name. But it was between Stumptown and Perfect Harmony, and I didn't have a lot of time, so I went with Perfect Harmony. Perfect Harmony is a new NBC comedy sitcom, and I've been seeing the ads around New York City. It has a cast that I am into, so I'm like, you know what, let me give this a shot. Some of the stars that you would recognize, Bradley Whitford, who's been around for a while. I like him, although I think he cheated on his then wife from Malcolm in the Middle, Jane Kismarek, who I really liked. So there's always something about him that I'm like, I don't like you.
Did he?
I think he did. I know they were together and something happened, and it was back when she was on Malcolm in the Middle, and I really like that actress, and I kind of don't like that his career has been fine and hers hasn't. So, I don't know. A little sad fun fact. But I at the same time, he's good. There's Anna Camp, who we know most well from the Pitch Perfect movies. And then I also like this actress a lot, Timberly Hill. I know it's Timberly, not Kimberly. Kind of an interesting choice. But she's very funny. She was great with Casey Wilson on this short-lived NBC show, Marry Me. And then there are a few others, but those were the names that popped out to me. So it's basically Sister Act meets Glee with like a dash of the Kaminsky Method. Bradley Whitford plays Arthur Cochran. He is sort of a mess. He just lost his wife. I either missed it or there wasn't really a lot of backstory in the pilot episode, which confused me because it literally just starts with him like waking up from a little bit of a drunk stupor in his car. He goes into this church that he's parked at and finds this kind of like choir club that's a little ragtag of random people that can't really sing. And he just so happens to be a former music professor, you know, choir teacher kind of thing. And so he is in Kentucky because that's where his wife was just recently buried. And this is kind of where she grew up. So he, you know, is depressed and wants to kind of stay with her in a way in Kentucky. So he decides to actually help out this sort of glee club. But what's nice about it, other than, you know, there's going to be many, many glee comparisons, you know, of course, because of the just nature of this. But what's kind of nice is these are not teens. These are working adults that all have, like, you know, their main thing. And then this is just something they like to do to express themselves. So already I kind of am drawn in a little bit more that way, where this is sort of like their little side hustle. There are competitions, so you'll see all of that. So we've seen this before. It's not new. I do like it. I don't know if I'm going to keep up with it. I would say, you know, add it to your list. It's enjoyable. I did laugh a little bit. Some jokes missed the mark, but I mean, we're talking broadcast, so that's expected. Right. But I did chuckle sometimes. There's good music when they're performing. It is attention grabbing. And there's also, I'm blanking on his name, but the actor who's currently on American Horror Story, he does a lot of the scary roles. He right now is Mr. Jingles. Totally blanking on his name.
John Carroll Lynch.
He's in it as sort of their nemesis, so he's, like, quickly becoming TV's MVP. So, I mean, it's enjoyable. It's at least fine background TV if you want to have something on and just kind of laugh every now and then. So, yeah, it's nice. It's basically, like I said, Sister Act meets Glee, meets Kaminsky Method, because he's training them and telling them what they're doing wrong, and he's kind of like a blunt, curmudgeon-y kind of guy, so there's some comedy there.
Okay.
All right. Cool. I will finish us up. So if you'll remember, a couple months ago, we all picked a pilot script and kind of gave it a read and delved into whether or not we thought it would work. Miss Fumi picked Evil, which is the new show from Robert and Michelle King, who made their claim to fame with The Good Wife. And do they also do the good, what's the spinoff show, Fumi?
The Good Fight?
The Good Fight.
Do they do The Good Fight?
Yep.
Okay, so they do those two shows for CBS and brought much acclaim to CBS because of it. So it sounded interesting. I know Fumi really liked the script. It is about a woman who, she's a psychologist, I guess, and she consults on court cases and basically gives her opinion as to whether or not defendants who are trying to use insanity as their plea, whether or not they can really be considered insane, right? Whether or not there's some psychological issues going on with them. She's got like 3 or 4 kids. Her husband travels a lot for work. They're trying to pay their bills. They're kind of hitting it rough. So somebody from the Catholic Church comes to her and says, I'd like to hire you on our cases, and you help me decide whether or not people who are trying to say that they were possessed when they committed a certain crime, truly are possessed or not. And she kind of has a little trouble with this because she doesn't have a lot of religious convictions, but she kind of needs the money. And she's like, okay, this is interesting enough. I'm going to take it on and see what happens. So she meets this one guy who's accused of murder, and he's trying to claim that he's possessed. And kind of in vain of the exorcism of Emily Rose, after she meets him, some strange stuff starts happening to her. So that's the general gist of it. But guys, I didn't like it.
Oh, no.
Oh, I didn't like it. No. I didn't. I thought
that's
it was too corny.
Okay.
So, Foom, I think I can understand why you liked it a lot when you read the script, because I think it's one of those things that works really well on paper.
Well,
and
I
it
didn't
was all
like
going to be
the,
left up to the execution.
I didn't like the her imaginary person.
The demon?
Yeah.
Yes. So, and that's exactly what kind of did it for me. So there's a scene where she's laying in bed and some creepy demon comes out of the shadows, right? And he looks really scary, looks like something right out of Insidious, kind of James Wan-esque, right? And you're kind of like, oh shit, I got a chill down my spine. And then he walks up to her and he's like, hello, my name is George. And it was like, wait, what? So you're like, am I supposed to laugh? Am I?
Yeah.
Is this supposed to be funny? Because a second ago I was shitting my pants, and it just falls flat. I don't know what they're going for. I also feel like the actress they picked, her first name is Katya. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her last name right now. I knew it right before recording this, but I feel like she was miscast. I don't know. I think they needed somebody who could be a little more serious in the role, right, Foom? You feel the same way, too?
I actually have to be completely honest, and I want to be respectful because our friend does work on it. She's a writer on the show. I don't understand the casting for this show at all, actually. I think the entire thing was miscast. When I read it, I had a totally different vision in mind of like the roles and the people that would be playing this. So when I saw the cast in that first trailer and when it was announced who they cast, I was like, really? That's interesting. So that kind of kills it for me. I just feel like the show missed that whole mark.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Wow. But yeah, the demon, I hope and pray that the demon is not long for that world.
That seems so sci-fi to me, to have a scary demon with a British accent be kind of her little imaginary sidekick. It feels very like WB or...
Well, the thing about the Kings is that they do write quirky fun. They have a really, really good way of intricating drama and seriousness with like a quirky tick that works 99% of the time. And I think that they were thinking that this demon would be that kick with, like, the British accent. Yeah. But it doesn't work. And totally your Tom. It's like he's scary looking. He appears to her when she's sleeping. It's the dead. It's dark. Like, all elements of, like, a really good moment of, like, terror and scariness.
Yeah.
But then
right out of a horror playbook.
Yeah, but then he speaks and you're like, what is going on here? Yeah, like, it's just weird. It doesn't work.
Is it scary at all? Like,
no.
No.
Okay. Moments like, sure, but then they were ruined right away.
The show itself, yeah, I agree, Tom.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. Interesting. I'll check it out because my friend Carolyn works on it, but yeah, that sounds kind of like...
Oh, no, we both know somebody that works on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's the Whoops. First team PA. So she's working with those people, where those the lead actors that we're making fun of. So sorry, I'll check it out. But yeah, that sounds kind of
yeah. So that's our episode and that's our list. Let's add it all up. Mm-hmm. We had A Very Brady Renovation, which is on HTV right now. Mark said that is an ad. Fumi had Criminal on Netflix, the UK version at least, because it is 4 miniseries right now in 4 different countries. The UK version was definitely an ad for her. I had Judy, which just opened in theaters this weekend. That is a resounding ad. Go run to the theater to go support this film. Go, Renee. We're rooting for you. And then as far as premieres go, Fumi had Prodigal Son, which she said was an add this tier list for now. Mark had Perfect Harmony. He also said it's an add this tier list. It's fun enough. And then I had Evil Womp Womp, which I said is, what am I going to rate that?
Drum roll.
I'm going to say skip that shit.
Oh, no!
Whoa. Oh, shit. Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
He's pulling out the knives. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Skip that shit.
So, yeah, so we had 5 ads.
So
five
maybe should I not even... Well, you know what? I will watch just so I can text you guys and be like, oh, yeah.
And let us know what you think.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay,
all right.
So, as usual, we want to say thank you to Greg, Jay, and Allie for your support and everything you lend this podcast. You listeners, please, please, please go find us on social. We are everywhere. Interact with us. And more importantly, find us on iTunes and rate us. Give us a rating and a review. And then we may shout you out on a future episode. Yeah. I think that's it for now, guys. The next time we will be back, it will be our annual obligatory spooky Halloween episode. Ooh. Are we ready?
I am so ready. Happy October.
Yes. So you'll have to check us out to see what we've got in store for you this year. Mm-hmm. And other than that, have a good couple weeks and we will catch you on the flip side.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.